I'd like to thank Doug for giving me that heads up about giving this speech early. And you notice my exit. Several years ago, following one of our African mission trips, I was asked to speak at our church. And it was an after-dinner speech, and during dinner I had two or three glasses of tea. And about the middle of my talk, I was in trouble. And so I just told everybody the problem. I left and then came back and finished my speech. So that's not going to be necessary this morning. I'm going to entitle this talk as Thank You, Mother, or Thanks, Mom. I'm an ophthalmologist. I live in Hickory. I grew up in Newton Conover. I was graduated from Carolina in 1959, and in May, our class celebrated our 50th anniversary. I would like to commend Doug and his staff of the GAA for their hard work in making our weekend a success and so much fun. As I've been sitting in these meetings, these board meetings for the past 2 years, listening to the exciting and interesting stories by Eric Montross, David Royal, Don Curtis, Randy Jones, and others, my main concern and thought has been, I hope Doug doesn't call on me to share my Carolina experience. Compared to theirs, mine is dull and boring, plus I am not a good public speaker. But I will have to admit that this task has made me review my early years and how Carolina influenced the rest of my life. First of all, let me tell you about my parents, who in retrospect shaped my life. My dad was a lawyer and a professional baseball player. While at Trinity College in Durham, for both undergraduate school and law school, he played baseball for the Baltimore Orioles in the International League. He was a catcher, and one of his pitchers was a guy named Lefty Grove, who is now in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Dad was a catcher, and Dad was a good hitter, and he led the league in hitting 1 year, barely beating out a guy named Lou Gehrig. In 1924, he was called up to the Washington Senators for the pennant race with Boston. He got a pinch hit double that drove in the run, which clinched the pennant. Some of you diehard baseball fans may remember that Walter Johnson was a member of that Senators team, and they won the World Series. My dad eventually settled down and practiced law in Newton for the rest of his life. My mother got her college degree in 1924 at Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. She majored in medical technology and became a laboratory technician in Memphis. In college, she was the captain of her basketball team, and while working in Memphis, won the city tennis championship. So you see, both my parents were good athletes and interested in sports, all sports. The first 18 years of my life were consumed in sports. I lived one block from my elementary school and two blocks from my high school, where most sports took place. Summertime, until I was 14 and started having summer jobs, was spent playing baseball, softball, tennis, swimming, ping pong, volleyball, horseshoes, boxing, you name it, at our city recreational playgrounds. After age 14, I always had a summer job. Two summers I worked for the city of Newton, maintenance department, digging water and sewer lines, telephone pole holes, and painting street markers, and using a jackhammer, and other hard, dirty jobs. Those summers taught me that I didn't want to do hard labor the rest of my life. At Newton Conover High School in the 50s, we only had four sports: football, basketball, baseball, and tennis. No soccer, no track, no other sports. Since we were a small school, anyone with a shred of athletic ability could play. I played all four sports and won our senior award for most athletic. Now, that doesn't mean best athlete. It means simply that no one else in my class played all four sports. I love sports. It was a lot of fun. At home, my mother was in charge, period. She was a strict and demanding, full-effort mom and did not spare the rod or spoil the child. If I got a grade less than an A on my report card, she was unhappy and made me unhappy. Consequently, I made good grades. My senior year, my mother demanded that I enter the North Carolina Oratorical Contest sponsored by the American Legion. This is not something I wanted to do. However, she called Mary Catherine Shivers, our infamous strict senior English teacher, to coach me. Well, we soon found out that I had no aptitude for public speaking, especially if it were extemporaneous. In this contest, you had to write and deliver a 12-minute speech on something related to the American Constitution, and then speak extemporaneously for 6 minutes on an article of the Constitution pulled out of a hat on the day of the contest. So what I did was write a 3-minute introduction which I could use on all the articles of the Constitution. And then I memorized a 3-minute closing on every article of the Constitution. So it didn't matter to me which article of the Constitution they pulled out of the hat. I had it all memorized. So thanks to Ms. Shivers coaching me on every gesture, every inflection of my voice, and my memorization of every word, I won the North Carolina American Legion Oratorical Contest. Shortly following this, I was chosen to attend Boys State at Chapel Hill. Now, I had been to Chapel Hill a number of times to visit my Uncle Hugh and his family who lived here. But this was my first time to experience the campus, and I fell in love with this place. As it turned out, I got nominated for governor of Boys State. My running mate was lieutenant governor was a boy from Rocky Mount named Jim Hunt, later to become our real governor. Our opponents were Herman Godwin from Dunn and Lawrence Curry from Shelby. They won the election. Herman later became a Morehead Scholar here and then was my roommate in medical school. I still believe we lost that election because of my inability to speak extemporaneously, which we were required to do. I didn't have time to write and memorize what I needed to say, and clearly did not do a very good job. College was next, and I only applied to Carolina because this was the only school where I wanted to go. And Ed French in the admission department had visited our high school and assured me my chances of getting in here were very good. Arriving in Chapel Hill in the fall of 1955, I was scared to death. My mother had convinced me that I should aim toward medical school, and in order to get in medical school, I had to have straight A's or close to it. I was assigned to the fourth floor of Joyner Dormitory, and my roommate was Billy McCluster from Lumberton, who was also pre-med. He, too, was from a small high school and was unsure of how he would do in college. We both studied most of the time, found it challenging, but we both made good grades. My spring semester, I went out for the freshman baseball team. I made the squad, but I spent most of my time on the bench. Even so, I was proud to wear the Tar Heel uniform and represent the university. The next spring, I did not go out for the varsity. I told folks that I had too many chemistry labs, but in truth, I knew I wasn't good enough to make the team. My sophomore year was busy and tough. I was into my hardest pre-med courses. Billy and I moved to the old East dormitory, which we liked because we could get up a little later for our 8 o'clock classes. Our basketball team won 32 in a row in a national championship, which was very exciting. I pledged a fraternity, Kappa Alpha Order, which definitely improved my social life. By my junior year, I was taking the last of my required pre-med courses and starting on my English major courses. I had always liked to read and love my courses in literature, history, philosophy, and archaeology. I also got involved in campus politics and was elected junior class president in a close race against basketball player Danny Lotz. My senior year was perhaps the most fun year of my life. I had completed almost all of my tough required courses. I had no afternoon labs, and I took interesting courses which were not as time-consuming. The only serious endeavor that year was serving on the Men's Honor Council. That was a big responsibility, and I took it very seriously. My senior year roommate at the KE House was Bill King, who was the sports editor of the Daily Tar Heel. He is a very funny guy, and we have stayed good friends all these years. Together, we searched the campus that year for good-looking girls, and later decided we had dated all of the 80 pies except two. One didn't meet our good looks criteria, and the other was Caddy Davis, who was always booked up, and I don't think we met her criteria. The next year, when I was in medical school, she and two other Carolina co-eds came to Winston-Salem to do their practice teaching and moved into an apartment close to ours. I finally got a date with Caddy, and to make a long story short, we got married toward the end of my second year of medical school. This past April, we celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary. As things worked out, my mother's demands and hopes that I would make straight A's at Carolina didn't happen. I made a few B's, but I never made a C, which made her very proud. This resulted in a six-year rental scholarship for medical school at Wake Forest. This made my dad very happy because he had also paid to send my two sisters to college, one of whom was also graduated from Carolina. Both my daughters are Carolina graduates and also my two sons-in-law. I will be very proud if one or all of my five grandchildren come to Carolina. My 4 years at Carolina taught me that you don't have to be the brightest guy on the block, but you do have to work hard to succeed. I still can't talk to a crowd without memorizing or reading what I want to say. So I have learned to try not to get into that predicament. And I'm glad Doug gave me time enough to write this talk. Doug, thank you.